Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
All right, I got to read this one because out of the slew of negative, stop being a negative Nancy. You're sucking all the positivity out of the room. There's this one from Larry Legend who texts in, Mark, if these coaches are going to make a bunch of rookie mistakes that prevent the Broncos from getting past 500, then are they not by definition not a significant upgrade? Maybe there'll be a significant upgrade in 3 years, but they wouldn't be now, would they?
Sure they would.
Oh, Larry.
Sure they would, Larry.
Good job, Larry.
Of course. Yeah, no, that's not a good job, Larry.
Good job. That's whole milk right there, Larry.
That is not. That's whole. That's skim.
Good whole.
The best, it's 2%.
Straight
from, skim.
Straight from the cow's udder. Or rather, teat. Well, no, they have udders, don't they? Yeah, no. Udder. You just wanted me. Oh, to huff, you baited me into saying
it. It is, though.
It's the udder.
Yeah.
But you. Oh,
uh-huh.
You got me.
You said teat. Wait, I said teat. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Now it's a full-on scandal.
Ooh. The teat scandal.
Ooh, scandalous.
Teatgate.
If you...
All right, stop.
Okay, that's enough. If you are revamping a roster, which I believe they are because of the bad drafts, if you're building your roster and you're teaching your techniques and you're developing players, does that not take time? I mean, does it not take time? And yeah, that, I mean, there's going to be some learning curve. Was Bill Belichick the greatest coach in NFL history when he got fired from Cleveland?
No, of course not.
Oh yeah. Okay. It took a little bit of time, right? I mean, you think Cleveland wishes they would have held on to the guy? Like, I just, when you're developing a culture and you're developing a system, it takes time to put that in and get your players to understand.
Okay,
it.
And that's fine.
Right.
And actually, again, this, and we're going back and forth here, but you and I are both on the same page as to
correct
why the Broncos have been 16-28 in their last 44 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's talent. There's been a talent drain.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So we start from that. And I just want to get everybody on the same page as to why we're where we're at now. Now, everything you just said about, hey, it takes time to develop, you're going to have a really young roster beyond the quarterback position,
mm-hmm,
especially on the offensive side of the ball. So that I'm with you. It does take time. But let's not try to fool ourselves and fool everybody around us by saying we're at this point because it's just simply been a really good football team that's been mismanaged.
Right.
And it has not been a good football team.
No, it hasn't been a good football team. I don't think the coaching has been great, but it hasn't been a good football team. I mean, I think that's, I really think that's the way it boils down.
Because you got plenty of people out there who I'm convinced believe that this has been, over the stretch that they've gone 16-28, that this is a team that is a 28-16 football team that has just been mismanaged.
Right, and I don't think you and I are on the same page that way. There's no way that that's the way this roster has been put together or constructed. There's just no way. There's too many mistakes. Man, you can't have first round busts and second round busts. I mean, go through before the last 2 years, 2018 and 2019, go through the first, second, and third rounders that have been drafted here that aren't even a part of this football team anymore. You know, and I'm not just talking the Paxton Lynch's of the world or even the Garrett Bowles of the world who's still on the roster, but there's, you know, I mean, this is rubber meets the road time for Garrett Bowles. Is it not? I mean, I think it's one of the reasons you go get a Juwan James, because that guy is so athletic that you feel like, hey, if we have to make the move, at least he's athletic enough to hopefully flop over there. I mean, that's not an easy transition, trust me. But you can't go through all the second and third round picks that have just been. I mean, that should be the majority of your roster. What did we figure out? There was, I believe, from 2013 to 2017, so the five drafts. I think there were three or four guys on the roster right now from those drafts. I mean, it's ridiculous. Hireman, I mean,
you want to go back to 2015, and these are all guys that would be into their second contracts and really making up the guts of your football team. Shane Ray, Ty Sambrylo, Jeff Hireman, Max Garcia.
Okay.
Lorenzo Doss, Darius Kilgo, Trevor Siemian, Bradley Roby, Cody Latimer, Michael Schofield, Matt Paradis. So far, the only guy still on the team is Hireman. Sylvester Williams, Monte Ball, Kayvon Webster, Derek Wolfe, Brock Osweiler, Ronnie Hillman, Malik Jackson. So if you go back to when John Elway started drafting players.
Okay.
The only players from the time that he started drafting to within 2015, the only guys still on the team are Vaughn, Derek Wolfe, and Jeff Hireman. That's it.
It's not a great track record, Mike.
And if you don't think that that has a trickle-down residual effect that leads you to 16-28 over a 44-game span, you're naive. Now, the good news is, doesn't mean it has to be this way forever. And you hope that the classes, starting with 2016, that brought us the likes of Adam Gotsis and Justin Simmons and Devontae Booker and Connor McGovern and Will Parks, you know, followed up by... Now, there's not a whole lot from the 2017 draft.
Well, you got Bolsey.
You know, DeMarcus Walker, I guess, is still there.
Okay, can I say something?
Presence.
DeMarcus Walker, I was looking at this the other day, because they had a picture of him somewhere on the internet flowing around there. You got to take him out of 57. Like that experiment where, hey, he's going to be kind of a stand-up D-end, outside linebacker. Like, don't you got to put him in a D-line number, like a 90s number? You can't. I mean, he's already conflicted. Put him down. Put his hand in the dirt. Give him a 90s number. Maybe that'll...
Give him some number clarity.
Yeah, I mean, a little number clarity.
I see what you're saying. Would
help him, you know, would help him, I think. Feel like I've found a spot. I've got a home.
Hey, look, you know, starting with the likes of Simmons, who we like, Parks, we like.
I like Parks a lot. Where was Parks drafted?
Sixth round.
Sixth rounder.
And then you get into what you've done the last couple of years. You know, hey, I mean, maybe that's where the turnaround starts.
Right.
And let's hope so. But let's also be real as to why we are in the position we're in.
Yeah, you need that.
And it's not coaching. I just went through year after year of empty draft classes. That's why we're at this point. Let's not being negative.
Right.
I just gave you the evidence.
Right.
That's evidence. That's fact.
No. From a roster standpoint, you need to go. What was that song "Turn Around" by Bonnie Raitt? Right. Turn around. So you need to go in that direction with that song.
You want it, Ben? You're on it. It's a classic. It's a classic. It's true. We got to turn it around.
Turn around.
DeHuff just said, who did you say it's
Bonnie Raitt?
Turn around.
Oh, really?
Nice try. Nice try.
Mike, who is it then?
It's Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler.
Boom.
Yeah. Bonnie Raitt.
I thought I thought I was going to get you. I really, you're good, man.
See, you got to understand.
You are solid.
See, here's the problem now with you trying to get me on O'Reilly's, is that you've done this so often.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming back.
I think this is from old.
Is this edited?
I hope so.
Yeah. Keep the button handy. Okay.
By the way,
imagine we're talking to Patrick Waugh right now.
All right. That's one of the great scenes when he's singing at that wedding and then he just starts dropping.
I'm bleeping love forever.
Yeah. He is.
Every now and then I fall apart.
That's a great scene. All right, so you didn't fall for it. So you don't have to text us and go, that's not Buddy Reid. You know, we're playing a game. Get clicked in here. Get clued in to the game.
See, again, but the Elway supporters, man, they dig deep.
You're trying to say Vance Joseph was a good coach? You didn't see that Gary Kubiak checked out in his last year? Oh gosh.
It's just, again, the excuse, that's why I'm so happy we've arrived at this point, because we will have clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they go 6-10 and 7-9 again, what are you people who just texted in that going to say?
Yeah, Gary Kubiak.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the talent, but, Vic Fangio, he's a rookie coach, you know, and hey, Mike Munchak, you know, maybe too much was made of Mike Munchak, you know. At some point we're going to have clarity, and that's what I love about this season. Now, look, hey, if they go 10-6, then I'll be the first one to step up and say, you know what? I think it was obviously a lot to do with coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if they go 10-6, I'll step up.
Of course, they made some significant upgrades, right? And the quarterback, you agree, is a significant upgrade.
And who will have brought that quarterback here?
John Elway.
Right.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. He will be given plenty of credit for what has happened. But, for those who are saying, I don't want the Broncos to do well, of course I want the Broncos to do well. When the Broncos are good, everything's good. But I'm not going to just sit back. And when you've played 44 games over the last almost three seasons, and you've won only 16 of them, and you've done it with different coaches, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and you're just going to tell me, well, there's nothing to see here, pay no attention.
Right.
You know, the players are just fine. The roster's just fine. It's just been miscoached. Come on. Listen, I get it. You still got a John Elway poster in your room. You know, you want to believe in John Elway. I'm not saying John Elway can't turn it around. I'm not saying that. But let's not be naive and think that they're in this spot that they're in right now. And people are telling me, you know, stop saying that it's been several years that they've been down. It's only been three. I got one of those on the RamosLaw.com text mm-hmm. line. Stop saying it's been several years. It's only been three. Okay, I'm going to ask
three.
You.
In three, several? A couple is two. Isn't several three?
Three. Three or more, yeah.
Yeah. Several is three.
Well, let me ask this. I'll throw this question out there. If 3 years is really not that much of a time very small window, then how many teams do you think are in the NFL right now that have gone three or more years without making the playoffs? Can I get some efforting music,
yeah,
Ben? You can look it up, but I want people out there.
I'm not going to look it up.
No, I just want people to think you're driving, you're doing whatever. How many teams are currently, there are 32 teams in the NFL. How many teams you think are currently
all right.
3 years or more? So if the idea is that, hey, come on, Mike, stop making a big deal.
Right.
It's only been 3 years.
All right.
How many teams
I'm
going to
go
think?
Through each division. In the AFC East, it's only the Jets. In the AFC North, it's probably only Cleveland. In the AFC South, now you can leave that going, Ben. It's nope. Everybody's been in the playoffs. In the West, it's Denver and Oakland. So that's three teams. That's three teams from the AFC. NFC. Oakland did go 2 years ago, didn't they? So it's only the Broncos. So that's two teams. Gosh.
Okay, here's the answer.
How many is it?
Eight. There are eight. One, only 25% of the league has teams that have gone 3 years or more without making the playoffs. Eight. So you're one of eight. That's it. So to say nothing to see here, no big deal, you are one of only eight teams that have gone three or more years without making the playoffs. What are the teams? That's a drought.
What are the teams? Do you have the list of the teams? The Jets, the Broncos, probably Tampa Bay would be one of those teams, right? Tampa Bay.
This is great. Evan,
the Giants.
Shut up if you have nothing good to say. Okay, fine. Hey, listen. Nothing to see here. Everything's good.
Skins.
Everything's fine. Don't worry. John Elway's got another comeback in his pocket. Okay, that's what that texter wants to hear. Okay, fine, you're right. Nothing to see here. Everything's good. We're all good.
Niners.
God.
That's kind of alarming when you say we're one of eight teams. And for the guy who texted in and said Gary Kubiak just mailed it in his last year, come on. They won nine games with Trevor Siemian. Remember they had Mark Sanchez and they cut Mark Sanchez. So they went in with two guys who have never played in at the quarterback positions, Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. And you still found a way to win nine games. Do really, really Gary Kubiak melded in. I mean, that's an
come
asinine
on. We got
to
come on. Listen, if you are trying to put forth a narrative that what's happened over the last 3 years is not John Elway's fault, that it's all the coaches, how else are you going to explain Gary Kubiak finishing 5-7 in his last 12 games here? Come on, you got an agenda to push. You got a narrative to frame.
Mm-hmm.
Clear, he mailed it in.
Mailed it in. All right, whatever. But that's ridiculous. But that's where you end up because you're like, oh no, it can't be John or it can't be the personnel. I love the Broncos too much. It's got to be, well, none of these coaches wanted to win. Like they didn't understand. And that to me is ridiculous. I mean, there's nobody. The year before, Gary Kubiak should have been NFL Coach of the Year. The way he managed the Manning injury with Brock Osweiler starting, the way he brought him back, like that management, winning a Super Bowl in all of that, like there's nobody that managed a team better than Gary Kubiak did that year.
Listen, folks, I'm not saying John Elway can't bring this thing back, but you're not going to be a bad Bronco fan if you criticize the job that John Elway's done over the last few years. You're not going to have to take down your poster. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have to dismantle your Bronco shrine that you have set up in the back room. You're still a good fan. You are not a bad fan. In fact, I'd actually say you're a great fan. A great fan.
See,
if you could come out and say, look, I love John Elway, but... And I believe in John Elway, but man, his record over the last few years, he's put this team in a tough position, a tough hole to dig out of.
Point of order here, though.
And I love John Elway, but
he's
not above accountability.
This is a results business. If you don't play well, guess what? You get fired. That's the way it works. So let me ask you this, though, really quick. If you have a John Elway shrine, okay,
you know who you are.
Is it really in the back room?
Good point.
That thing is front and center in the living room.
That's foyer.
Yeah. You walk in. Oh, this little ditty? John signed this after the game in 87 when blah, 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 blah. Like, you know exactly where you were at the time.
Look, this is a game-worn jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Dirt stains are still there.
Smell it. Smell it! I think stink slid across him at some point. Distinct smell of urine.
How'd that work out?
It's never been washed. Never!
Good for you, bud.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing is prominently displayed in the foyer.
The foyer. Always a candle burning.
Mm-hmm. So. What would your incense candle for John Elway be?
Ooh.
Like, if you had a John Elway room... What would the incense of choice be? You guys can text us in, you guys that have John Elway rooms. You can text us in and let us know what your incense of choice is. But what would your candle of choice be?
Come on now. You know who you are, and there are a lot of you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Those of you who have a John Elway shrine room or a Broncos shrine room that probably has plenty of John, what's the candle scent?
Of choice, yeah.
Yeah.
Pine.
It's got to be something husky.
Like bark.
Right?
They have like a bark candle.
Right?
Not like a dog, but like bark, you know, from a tree trunk.
It's got to be something.
Yeah.
With heft, with substance. It's not going to be.
Yeah.
It's not going to be too floral. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not going to be. It's not going to be like, what's the big one? What are the big ones right now? They, rosebud or, you know, or,
See, I'm glad I got, see, now this is good. This is good. This is the text I was waiting for. I was just waiting for somebody to get mad enough that they just, the whole veneer.
They're no longer going to listen or what?
No, the whole veneer came down and it was just them being truthful, right?
Uh-huh.
Can't believe disrespecting the guy that made this franchise what it is. Pathetic. Okay. You're a fan.
Was that from John?
You're a fan and you refuse to.
Did it say from LA?
Hold. No. Hold him accountable.
Right.
And okay, that's fine. Just admit, you are a fan and you can never, and that you do not have a clear cut view. You can't have a clear view of John Elway, the executive. Because of what John Elway, the player, did. You just can't separate
the
two.
Are you a Bronco fan or are you just really an Elway fan?
Oh, no, I'm sure they're good Bronco. No, this person clearly is a very good Bronco fan. No. Elway was here too long to just be an Elway fan. That's a Bronco fan. Bourbon and cigar smoke.
Bourbon.
Candlelit.
Ooh. Can you mix the two? Bourbon and cigar smoke?
Sure.
That would be a great candle. Or just, like, you know what would be a great one? Leather-bound book.
Oh!
Rich mahogany.
Yes.
You walk into the Elway Shrine and it smells like leather-bound books.
Oh, people know me.
That's good.
Yeah.
Why, Jim, I can't help but notice your John Elway shrine. What's that smell I feel in the air? What is that?
Oh, that?
What is that?
That's my leather-bound book candle burning in the background.
I thought you would like it.
Or it could just smell like Sex Panther.
Maybe don't wear a bra next time.
That escalated quickly.
That escalated really quickly.
Whoa.
Okay. Well, it is a shrine.
Yes.
So, and it is John Elway. So, mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's not that much of a reach. Okay. Wow. Where to go from here? How about this? Who made the best moves of the NFL offseason, and are the Broncos included? Let's hope so. That's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion. Even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
So ESPN asked a group of coaches and front office evaluators, with the benefit of anonymity, to select their favorite moves of the offseason.
Okay.
Tell me if you agree with any of these.
Okay.
John Gruden and Mike Mayock form a good tandem. Raiders have been getting a lot of love.
They have been getting a lot of love, right? I mean, I think they were so bad last year And, you know, obviously they made decisions to kind of bolster their roster through the draft so that they didn't have to pay a lot of money. And I think most people feel like what they did draft-wise was, you know, pretty solid. I think you could make that argument that they're kind of lockstep in their philosophical approach to what they're trying to do.
Another best offseason moves, the Jets and Bills go on the offensive. That the Jets have made good moves, although it was enough to get their GM and director of football ops fired.
Mm-hmm.
But still, adding the likes of Le'Veon Bell, Jameson Crowder, to go along with C.J. Mosley, but mainly the offensive moves. Bell, Crowder with the Jets, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Tyler Kroft, and an improved offensive line for the Bills. Jets, Bills go on the offensive, building the kind of offenses that can compete with New England. You buy that?
I don't know. I mean, they still have quarterbacks that are in their second year, so I would still.
But. On the road to becoming Hall of Famers.
Good call. You know what? I've totally forgot that they're part of the Hall of Fame Five. So yes, 100%. Yeah, they have they've closed the gap, Mike. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them sneaks up on top of the New England Patriots.
On the list of the best offseason moves, the Dolphins poach Josh Rosen. That's the word used in the headline. Poach.
In the Hall of Fame Five. See, something is becoming quite clear here. If you have a Hall of Fame Five, one of the quarterbacks, you're getting on this list from ESPN. It's from ESPN, right?
Yeah.
They clearly believe in the Hall of Fame Five.
I can only imagine how nervous Tom Brady is right now.
Oh.
Knowing that there's not one, not two, but now three
future
Hall of Fame quarterbacks coming for him.
Think about this. Has there ever been a time in the NFL when every quarterback in a division was a Hall of Famer?
Wow. No, I can't imagine.
Every AFC East quarterback is a future Hall of Famer. Josh Allen.
Man.
Sam Darnold.
I never thought about it that way.
Josh Rosen.
And that guy, Brady.
Brady.
Well, I mean, in the NFC South right now, you have Matt Ryan, Hall of Famer. Cam Newton. Drew Brees.
Yes.
Jameis Winston.
Absolutely.
No.
So the Dolphins poaching Josh Rosen. Favorite offseason move.
Mm.
See what else other moves they like. Seattle gets resourceful in the Frank Clark trade.
Yeah, because they went back out. They got Frank Clark, who wasn't happy that they wanted to get paid. They got Ziggy Ansah as a good player, but
the Broncos did not make this list. But if you were putting the Broncos in this conversation, their best offseason move was
best offseason move. Revamping your coaching staff, Mike Munchak would go up there as one of my best offseason moves. I also think trading back in the draft and compiling, it was one of their best offseason moves. But Mike Munchak would probably go as my number one, kind of my number one offseason move. What do you think? What about you? Where do you stand on that?
All right. Well, you tell me, because here's what I'm gonna use as a comparison. Alex Gibbs, Dante Scarnecchia. I mean, when I think of really prominent offensive line coaches, you guys had Alex Gibbs,
right?
Patriots have Dante Scarnecchia. When you look at the success that you guys had, the success that the Patriots have had, is it a case where average talent was made to be an above average offensive line because of Alex Gibbs and because of Dante Scarnecchia?
Were you guys average? Was that in terms of talent? Were you guys average?
Yeah. I think
you, Gary Zimmerman, Tom Nalen,
obviously
Dan Abib.
Excuse me. Was that a slip of the tongue, or were you trying?
His eyes just went. You just went like full piercing. Like, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Were you trying to get me right there? Cause, or was that a slip of the tongue?
You'll never know.
Yeah, I think you look at us in general. Although, you know, Gary Zimmerman's all decade. You know, he's all world. I mean, he was great. And Tommy Nalen is potentially a future Hall of Famer as well. So, but when we started out, Tommy Nalen wasn't Tommy Nalen. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Tommy Nalen was a seventh rounder from Boston College.
Right.
So, yeah. And I was injured and Habib was, you know, what Habib was. He was a good player, but not anybody's, you know, Pro Bowl Hall of Famer. So.
Okay. But do you want to start playing the match him up game? Do you want to start saying, okay, on one hand, I got Gary Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
On the other, I've got Garrett Bowles. On one hand, I have Mark Schlereth. On the other, I have Max Garcia. On one hand, I have Tom Nalen. On the other, I have Matt Paradis.
Yeah.
On one hand, I've got.
When you start doing that, then.
Brian Habib.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I have. Fill in the blank. On one hand, I've got Tony Jones. On the other, I have. Blah. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, you guys weren't average.
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
Okay?
Way above average.
Okay.
When you put it that way.
That's my point, is that.
Yeah.
And I
get it.
I hope Munchak really can be that impactful, but. Do you have the talent to really maximize that?
I would say that I've told you this, when he got Villanueva, the left tackle, that guy was a former tight end that was, you know, he's a airborne ranger. And, you know, I mean, he was raw and he helped develop that kid. Now that kid's a hard worker. And he's a great kid, but he helped develop that kid into a Pro Bowler. Obviously Pouncey is a really good center, has been that way for a long time, but you know, you look at Gilbert, you look at Foster and you look at those other guys. They're good players.
Yeah.
Good players, but I wouldn't say, hey, you've got an elite players across the line. So yeah, I do think that he's a difference maker there.
Okay. Then I agree with you. Munchak, biggest offseason move made by the Broncos. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm good with that. I want to read this text came in from Carl on the RonMoslav.com text line. He asks, guys, now knowing he has to face Hall of Fame quarterbacks six times a year in his own division, will this force Tom Brady to retire earlier than expected?
That's right. He's only going to be 42 this season. Said he might play till 50. I'd say that you've got all these Hall of Famers.
He might be 44.
He might just hang her up after 44, 45.
Because you don't want the legacy to start being tainted.
No. Uh-uh. You never want your legacy to be tainted. Tain't going to happen. He'll retire early.
I got you there when I said, Mark Schlereth, Max Garcia. Stung a bit, didn't it?
Did it hurt?
That stung a little bit. You were like, well, now wait a minute now. Hold on.
Let me revisit this. Give me the Webster's Dictionary. Let me flip through that a little bit.
All right. Deep down, in places that he doesn't want to admit, what do you think John Elway feels a successful season would be? That's next. Actually, somebody asked a fair question, all snark aside. Of the supposed Hall of Fame five, three of them now are in the same division.
Correct.
Darnold with the Jets, Allen with the Bills, Rosen with the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Texter asks, if you had to go out on a limb right now and predict which one of the three will end up being the best. And again, all snark aside, not even talking about Hall of Fame. I'm talking about which of the three
of those three quarterbacks
end up being the best quarterback. If you had to take
if I had to take one, I go Sam Darnold.
So would I. Yeah. Why?
Because his hat was backwards and he threw in the rain.
I saw him throwing in the rain.
Mm.
Come on, you know the song.
There were scouts around.
Please stop.
I'll never be the same. I saw him.
There we go.
Throwing in the rain.
Like, I'm driving around yesterday, and I send Mark a text of the screen where it said, Gordon Lightfoot, wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Wind blew down from a chicken town. This is great. This is wonderful. I think I got too much sleep yesterday.
Think you got too much?
Yeah, when I came back.
You're reverse punchy.
Right, I got reverse, like, I came back from, you know, and had the 1 hour sleep and came here and worked. And then I, you know, I had that event, so I slept all day, then I went to the mountains and kind of slept all night, and then I did my thing, and then yesterday I took a long nap and went to bed early. I think I got too much, I'm reverse punch drunk. Sleepy. I got too much sleep the last couple of days.
So as I was driving around and flipping around, I got to hear my guys, Zokley and Stack, and don't normally hear this between the two of them. Little bit of an edge. And as you listen to Stokely, listen how he, like, you can almost picture him talking through gritted teeth as he talks to Zach about why Stoke believes John Elway would be happy with 8-8 this year.
John just wants to get back head above the water.
Oh my goodness.
That's it, huh?
I mean,
you think John Elway is going to be okay with 8-8? Missing the playoffs for a fourth
deep down
straight year?
Deep down, I don't, will you be all right? I think he takes a deep breath and just like, whew, hey, I'm glad we didn't get our tail kicked all year and we weren't 6-10 again. At least we didn't have a losing season.
Stoke, I'm telling you right now, if you think that is the truth, and let's just say it is, how far the mighty have fallen, and how the expectations around here have been
watered
down. Have
you
seen
it the last couple years,
Zach? I have.
It's been awful.
But we've made wholesale changes. New coach, new OC, new DC, new QB.
So because you make changes, all of a sudden you think it just happens overnight, and all of a sudden you're going to be a 10-win football team? That's not the way it usually works.
Well, I'm talking about what John's aspirations are. John's aspirations aren't to fist bump under the table.
I understand that, Zach, but I'm just telling you. I mean, I don't think he's going to come out and say it was a successful season, but I think deep down, you know, it's like, okay, we can take a deep breath. This team's heading in the right direction. We're not a losing football team anymore. We can continue to build. Like, we're doing things right now. That's what I'm saying here.
Oh. Hear that?
Yeah.
I understand that, Zach.
Yeah. A little bit snarky right there.
Mm.
Also, I noticed, and maybe this is the Cajun in him, he doesn't use the letter C when he says successful.
What do you mean?
He doesn't say successful. He says successful.
You really think you're the one that should be?
I'm just saying.
Telling people how to speak?
No.
It was a successful season. It was a successful season.
I think he.
That's way too many S's in that.
He would normally say it correctly. I think he was just getting really agitated by Zach.
Those balls can be really slippery.
I'm hotter than a red pepper. That was a successful season.
But did you hear Zach how he made his case? What did he start with? What did he lead with? New head coach. New defensive coordinator.
New offensive line coach.
New offensive coordinator. Oh, and then Joe Flacco. See, he clearly is drinking the, it's all about the coaching Kool-Aid.
He fell for the,
Well, listen.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Look over here. It was all coaching.
Well, if he totally disagreed with
the idiot.
If he totally disagreed with the idea of 8-8,
right?
And he made his claim starting with three different coaches. I don't think it's a leap. I don't think I'm taking a leap here. You know, this isn't wedge drive. This isn't a leap to say he believes Vance Joseph was at fault for the last 2 years, and that simply because of better coaching, they will be a 10-win football team.
It's mind-boggling. You know what's crazy to me is winning games in the NFL is really hard, Mike. It's a hard thing to do, right? You've got to have great coaching, and you've got to have great game planning. You've got to have players that can execute and all these things. Like, if coaching is far better, isn't a two-game swing kind of a, like, wouldn't that say, okay, if they go 8-8, that shows you there's not good enough personnel, and they've cleaned up the coaching, and they got two wins out of it? Like, to me, isn't,
really though, is two that, wins, I mean, all you've gone is from lower purgatory to upper purgatory. If you go from 6-10 to 8-8,
I'm just saying it's hard. Just from coaching alone, you think all of a sudden coaching alone is going to get you?
I think if you were an 8-8, 9-7 type team, and you went to 10 or 11 wins, I think you could really that two game swing there would really resonate. 6-10 to 8-8,
still two games.
Yeah, but.
I mean, it may not resonate as well, but I think it just continues to point to what you and I have said for a long time, is that it's more roster than it is.
Yes, you and I are in lockstep here. Let's not lose sight of that. You and I are in agreement. But for when you consider all the talk that's been out there about the coaches and what the coaches bring and the differences that the coaches would make and all of this,
mm-hmm.
aren't you sort of expecting more than just two more wins from 6-8? I mean, after all of the hype.
How many wins?
I'll leave you with this. For all the hype that is surrounding these new coaches, aren't you expecting more than just 8-8?
So so 9-7, would that satisfy you as a successful season?
You are cruel.
It was a successful season.
You are cruel. Listen, Stoke, I got your back on this one. Zach would make me start to run my words together, too.
Too. Hey, me too. I say things wrong all the time.
Okay.
You're funny. I think that was a successful show.
It was a successful season.
Hey, guys.
I heard what you're saying, Zach.
From me to you, guys. From me to you. Have a successful day.
All right. Nick Ferguson, John Davis coming up next.